Good morning. My name is Kendrick, and I have a wife and kids, and they go here too. And I'm going to read the scriptures today. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The scriptures are as relevant today as they were then.
Nice job. Appreciate it. Morning, guys. How we doing? Good. Happy Palm Sunday to you. My name is Dallas. If I haven't met you, I really would love the opportunity to meet you after the service. I always want to take a moment about this time each year. I think I'll just make it a habit to just be thankful. 2 years ago, I was supposed to come here and speak for the very first time, and it got to about Friday evening, and my dad had just had an open heart surgery. And to say the least, initially, it did not go very well. So I called the leadership team that Friday evening, and I said, look, I'm sorry, I know you're counting on me, but I just don't really think I should leave my dad right now. And so at that time, I really got to see the church be the church. You guys just prayed, and you followed up. And I remember in gratitude so much that time. And honestly, I was a bit cynical towards the institution, the church itself at the time, but the way you guys just loved so beautifully, I remember that wholeheartedly. So thank you for that. Speaking of almost dying, today's message is titled, What If Death Is Dead? We think really there's three things that are inevitable in life. You know, death, taxes, and the Cowboys choking in the playoffs. Those are the three things, you know. And I can say that because I'm a Cowboy fan. And Todd, I don't know if you're in here, but I believe next year is our year, all right? It's going to be our year. That's what I'm talking about, yes. The other three Cowboy fans in here agree, so. But we think of taxes. And look, taxes, those are inevitable. I mean, Jesus himself said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But what if death is not inevitable? What if we as Christians never die? What if we as Christians are unceasing beings who will be here 1,000 years from now and on and on and on, bypassing death as we know it? Perhaps in the ministry of Jesus, he often tried to explain to us that we never do die. Maybe he tried to explain that we're not really human beings with the spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings with a human experience. See, there's so much more to us than our bodies. We are souls. We are spirit. We are mind. We are will. We have an inner being, a heart. All these things that are non-physical, far beyond our bodies. What if the body is simply a very temporary, short-lived means for us to begin experiencing much deeper things? What if the purpose of the body is merely to exist momentarily to help us identify the deeper things that Jesus wanted to teach us? Remember things like John chapter 6. He feeds the 5,000, or maybe it was more like 20,000. He gives them food for their stomach, but then the next day he says what? He says, I am the bread of life. I am where your soul finds life forever. Essentially what he's saying is, get past the body, know that life is beyond the body, and that those who are in Christ thus never die. I think the topic of death has induced so much unnecessary fear into the Christian. See, we are souls with bodies, not bodies with souls. And I think the early church hardly ever feared for their body at all. And Jesus says in Matthew 10, he says, don't fear the one who can harm your body but cannot touch your soul. And because the early Christians knew that they were souls in essence, not bodies in essence, they lived in freedom and not fear of death. Man, the Romans would throw them into the gladiator arenas, and frankly, they couldn't get a rise out of the Christian. Because they'd say, we're going on to glory. They'd say, so be it, so be it. And Paul even said that to die, as we know it, is actually a gain. It reminds me of that old joke where the guy comes to the pastor's house, he holds him at gunpoint, and he says, "Give me all your money or else." And the pastor smiles and he says, "Are you trying to threaten me with heaven?" Right? That's the, hey, sometimes you swing and miss, you just got to keep swinging on those jokes. But isn't that the point? That really, we've got to align ourselves to the fact that the body is simply temporary. And there's so much more beyond it. We are so much more than just our bodies. It's not often that I'll rail on the secular world because I don't really see a lot of purpose in it. But there's this view that I think makes absolutely zero sense, that somehow something physical came from nothing. Now look, I know that something could form something else. I get that idea. But the fact that nothing somehow just turned into something is just bizarre to me. It clearly had to have been something non-physical forming the physical world. Thus, we could also surmise that there is so much life far beyond this physical world. And even scientists will tell you today that there are so many aspects to the human being that are simply unseen and non-physical. Take things like consciousness. Again, our will, our inner being, our soul, our spirit, our minds. There's so much to that we can tell is non-physical beyond us. In fact, the non-physical part of us makes up far beyond the physical part of our being. And so, we no longer have to fear the physical body fading since it is such a small part of who we actually are. See, if we're honest, we often associate our bodies fading to mean extinction or elimination of the whole self, when in reality, it is simply a glorious transition that we make into glory. Now look, let me level with you, because that transition can be very painful at times. When you lose a loved one, there's a lot of grief and mourning that's present. That separation that you experience from the body can be very, very painful. Even Jesus wept in John 11. He saw that separation that had occurred, and he wept over it. That is very good and natural to do. But what if our lives were completely free from the fear of death? What would our lives look like if that were the case? Perhaps we would live without limitation. Perhaps we would begin to take risk in favor of things that go so far beyond the body. Perhaps the power of evil forces would really be decimated, because fear of death is one of the greatest tools that it uses. You take even governments, man. A lot of times governments will use the fear of death to keep their power and control. Bullies are the same way, right? If I can just make you know that you will be harmed very badly, then I can get you to do what I desire for you to do. But wouldn't it be great to dismantle that power here today? Wouldn't it be great to live in a freedom so far beyond the fear of death? Because even the disciples, when push came to shove and Jesus goes to the cross, even the disciples succumbed to that fear of death, so they backed away. But because of the resurrection, it has now become an unnecessary fear that we live into, because we have life forevermore. Praise God for that. Hebrews 2:14-15 says this: "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." And the question is, have we been held in slavery by the fear of death? 2 Timothy 1:10 says that he has abolished death. Now look, that word abolished, you know what that means when something is abolished? It's gone. It's done. It's in the past. It doesn't deserve a second glance by us. See, often we think that death eliminates our existence, but what has happened is that Jesus has eliminated the existence of death. John 8:51 says this: "Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. Obeys his word as in the logos, as in submits to him being the way of life. Since he is life, we do not see death. These are Jesus' own words. John 5:24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Now that's important language. It's not that one day you enter into eternal life. It's that you have already crossed over from death to life if you are in Christ. You have eternal life now if you are in him. See, you die once voluntarily by going to the cross to ditch your little kingdom for his great kingdom. But then you enter into eternal life then, even though the body fades. John 3:16 is another example, as Kendrick read for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now perish here as if your life is being eliminated. It's not speaking of heaven one day. It's speaking to right now in this moment for those who have already crossed over from death to life. Now look, if you are not in Christ, then you do have a big problem. Death, you are already dead. But for those who are in Christ, the bully no longer calls the shots because he didn't give life. And he can't take it away. Jesus is life. He is the resurrection and the life. And the enemy can only harm the body, but no longer can touch your soul because that belongs to Jesus. Those things were given to us by a much higher authority than he. Now, it's at this point that you might be thinking, you know, Dallas, that sounds really good. However, in my life, I've seen a lot of people who seemingly cease to exist. Go with me over to John chapter 11. This is the story that gets us into Palm Sunday. After this story, it seems like everybody around wants to come after Jesus. This is when he raises Lazarus from the dead, and it's just really, really close to Jerusalem, just a few days before Palm Sunday. And this is when, on Palm Sunday, everybody's following him, and that's when they get the palm branches, and they start yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save us, save us, because they heard this story about Lazarus, starting in verse 11. Our friend Lazarus, this is Jesus talking, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. So you already see this fundamental difference here in the view of the body fading here. Jesus views it as his body falling asleep, as if the body is turning off, while everything else is still intact. But the disciples view it very differently. So as Jesus has the habit of doing, he'll often meet us in our own terminology. And so as we continue in verse 14, it says this. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So there it is again, the body here, Lazarus' body, is serving a purpose beyond that physical means. It's a deeper purpose. The body of Lazarus is being utilized here to promote a deeper concept of belief. So then, they go to him, and they encounter Mary and Martha. Let's continue in verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Y'all, this is the Jesus view on death. What we have to understand about this is that there may be physical separation for a temporary period of time, but it is not extinction because there is so much more to us than just our bodies. Again, we're spirit, we're soul, we're mind, we're an inner being with a will, and none of those things fade. So you can take heart this morning knowing that that loved one who's in Christ, who has gone on to glory, he or she is okay. He or she is okay. Theologically, he or she is either in a sleep-like state until the final resurrection, or he or she has already gone on to glory. Either way, they're okay. We're okay. And it doesn't mean that we don't get sad, but it does mean that we don't become demoralized because one aspect of the Christian has faded, but the rest of them lives on for all eternity. And by the way, no one and nothing could do anything about that. So, we no longer have to fear death because it has been abolished. So the question is, how do we embrace that reality, our new reality, that death has been abolished and we no longer thus have to fear it? Let's go to 1 John 4, verse 18. It says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Y'all, the only way to eliminate fear is to open ourselves up to love making its way through us. And y'all, love gets a bad rap today. We've allowed the culture to define what it is, and it's just not accurate. So sometimes in the church, we just don't talk about it at all. But yet, love is really the solution to every problem. And so we have to understand that it is love. It is love that drives out fear. Love is enduring. Love itself is eternal. It's not the kind of thing that runs out of steam. It is eternal. It doesn't fail. It doesn't quit. So we have to embrace love. And embracing love, fear is going to run out of steam. That's the point here. It drives it out. It sucks the life out of fear. And I've told you guys about my bouts with fear and anxiety and panic. You know what turned the tide for me? Was seeing the love of God in his eyes. The love of God. You know, the kind that doesn't say, "Hey, Dallas, you're going to need to just figure this thing out on your own." The kind of love that as I'm laying on my face, picks me up and says, "Dallas, I'm experiencing this with you. I love you. I'm not going anywhere. I love you, my son. It's okay. I've got plans for you. You can have hope here." That's the kind of love we have with our Father. And over time, I've learned that fear is simply no match for love. Jesus has taken fear's greatest weapon, the fear of death, and he has abolished it. Through the cross, he gave death to death itself. So now we can live in life and reign in life forever. And now we can say, "Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory?" Because Jesus has given death to death itself. And as our lives become more aligned with love, it will become less aligned with fear. Now, this is where we often mess up, though. It's not that we can go and just be more loving. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, "If I have not love, I am nothing." Meaning, it's something that must permeate throughout our entire being. It's something we open ourselves up to. It's opening ourselves up to his love to allow our inner being to change. It's not just something that we do. It's not just something that we act on. It is a love that permeates through our inner being. That's why he says things like love is patient. It's a state of being. It's not just something we act. It's not just something that we do. It's something that has to make its way. It's a life structure. It's a force that makes its way through our lives. And I think the emphasis on the body, even in terms of loving, is one of the reasons why we end up fearing death so much. Because of that emphasis on what the body can and can't do. It's the inner being transforming us. Jesus says, "Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." That's where we want to be. We want to be transformed by love, inside and out. So the question you might be asking is, how do I know if I am giving myself over to love? Well, perhaps our life begins to have some risk again. Perhaps the limitations are becoming more and more shattered, just like they were for the Good Samaritan. You know, there are two men in that story who really did succumb to fear. A lot of times people would not help other people on the road because it was very customary that somebody might be faking being injured and kind of preying on that compassion. And then when that person would come and try to help, they would have a knife or something and they would harm that person or rob that person. So two men said, you know what, I'm going to fear for my life here and I'm going to turn the other way. But what we have to understand is that the Good Samaritan had centered his life around love of his neighbor. He said, you know what, in God, I'm already an eternal being. I don't have to center my life around fear of preserving my life. I'm already an unceasing being, so I can take this risk now. I can go, whether that person is faking or is not faking, I can take this risk now. And I can just say, yeah, love is the center of my life, so I can just go and pursue this person. And maybe they're faking. And maybe I become harmed, and that's okay. Or maybe they don't really thank me for helping them. Maybe they don't really ever love me back. And all that's okay. Because my life is centered around love, not fear of death. He doesn't wonder, you know, what if something happens? Because he has life secure for all time. And by the way, we who are in Christ have life secure for all time. Maybe you're here today and you're tired of fearing, whether it's death or fear of anything else. Let us open ourselves up to love here today that will drive that fear out. Or maybe you're here and you don't know the ways of love. Let me just remind you about God's love for you. I think sometimes we have this view of God that he's always kind of disappointed in us in our sin. But here's the thing, he hates sin. But he hates sin because he loves us. And he has been pursuing you all your life. You know, if the enemy came to him and said, yeah, you can have 99, but just give me that one. He says, no deal, every single time, because he wants the one. And if you're here today and you don't know him, you are that one. He fiercely, fiercely loves you. Your sin does not dictate his love for you. He's the same God who clothed Adam and Eve after they sinned. He's the same God that Jonah, every step of the way, resists God, and he continues to pursue the heart of Jonah. He's the same God that frees the Israelites from slavery, even though they groaned the entire time. He's the same God that washes the feet of Judas right before Judas is going to go and betray him. He fiercely loves you because love is just who he is. And maybe some of us need to hear that again. His love, it's just who he is. It's not contingent on you. And by the way, his love is an enduring kind of love. When everything else has faded, what remains is his love. When the body has faded, his love remains. So as we go today, let us be free from the fear of death once and for all and live into this life of love that he has for us. Let's pray. Father, oh, we thank you for the truth of your word. We're so thankful for your love that really does change everything. Father, if there's anybody here who just doesn't know or doesn't believe how just loved they are by you, Holy Spirit, just saturate hearts right now. And for those who continue to fear things like death or fear in general, I just pray in this moment, just give us such grace to let us see once again how fear is no match for love. And help us to see that you are life. And that never changes. And we're so thankful. We love you so very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's worship.